Welcome back to Praying with Scripture. First, I'm going to ask us all to pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions as part of our plenary indulgence that the Church asks us to do certain works and prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to you, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So we're going to pray with Scripture, and we're going to do this multiple times today, because these 2 weeks are the holiest 2 weeks of the year, I figure. If you can't privilege it by going, and you can make some extra videos now when you have time off, why not? So we're going to begin with the Office of Readings, and we'll see how it goes. We'll do a little liturgy of the word too, like we did yesterday, but shorter. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Then we're going to pray Psalm 39. It's caption, Urgent Prayer of a Sick Person. Creation itself is made subject to futility, by him who subjected it, but it is not without hope. Romans 8:20. I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up, and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days? Now I know how fleeting is my life. You have given me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight. A mere breath, the man who stood so firm. A mere shadow, the man passing by. A mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts, we pray for all the sick, particularly Bill and Julia. In honor of Mary's gift, from God, her provident Father, help them know God as their Father and be healed. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. And now, Lord, what is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sins and correct him, like the moth you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am a passing guest, a pilgrim like all of my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This day of Holy Week concerns something of great interest. Why did Judas betray you, Jesus? What sins could have gone into this? What ideas did he think he would obtain from it besides money? Help us not to betray you today. Not in any way. Teach me to be more subordinate to your Holy Spirit, and to be a better listener, more ready to mortify myself. Help heal the sick, Lord. You sent us to heal the sick. Now turn your eyes to them and hear their cries. Amen. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Psalm 52. Against a calumniator. If anyone would boast, let him boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long? Your tongue like a sharpened razor, you master of deceit. You love evil more than good, lies more than truth. You love the destructive word, you tongue of deceit. For this, God will destroy you and remove you forever. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, so this is the man who refused to take God as his refuge, as his stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by his crimes. But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the goodness of God forever and ever. I will thank you forevermore, for this is your doing. I will proclaim your name, that your name is good, in the presence of your friends. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, you cut down the unfruitful branch for burning, and you prune the fertile, even though it's painful to make it bear more fruit. Make us recognize the times when we've been like laden olive trees in your domain, firmly rooted in the power and mercy of your Son. Make us again grow and prosper and rejoice, so that we will be gathered to you and will bear fruit worthy of eternal life. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, take care of us all of our financial needs. Take care of our practical needs. Make us able to rejoice in doing ministerial works for you at church and in the world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace, of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Now our lesson from Scripture and tradition. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. A reading from the Holy Gospel from the Hebrews, from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. You have come to the mountain of the living God. Strive for peace with all men, and for that holiness without which no one can see the Lord. See to it that no man falls away from the grace of God, that no bitter root springs up through which many may become defiled, that there be among you no fornicator or godless person like Esau, who sold his birthright for a meal. You know that afterward he wanted to inherit his father's blessing, but he was rejected because he had no opportunity to alter his choice. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, you have not drawn near to an untouchable mountain and a blazing fire, nor gloomy darkness and storm and trumpet blast, nor a voice speaking words such as those who heard begged that they not be addressed to them. For they could not bear to hear the command, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. No, you have drawn near to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festival gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks more elegantly than that of Abel. Do not refuse to hear him who speaks. For if the Israelites did not escape punishment when they refused to listen to God as God spoke to them on earth, how much greater punishment will be ours if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? His voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, I will once more shake not only earth but heaven, and that once more shows that shaken created things will pass away, so that only what is unshaken may remain. Wherefore, we who are receiving the unshakable kingdom should hold fast to God's grace, through which we may offer worship acceptable to God, in reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Responsory prayer. You heard God speaking from the darkness and saw Mount Sinai ablaze with fire. You came to see Moses crying. See how the Lord our God has shown us his greatness and his glory. Now you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And how the Lord our God has shown us his greatness and his glory. Second reading from a treatise on John by Saint Augustine, Bishop, the perfection of love. Dearest brethren, the Lord has marked out for us the fullness of love that we ought to have for one another. He tells us no one has greater love than the man who lays down his life for his friends. In these words, the Lord tells us what the perfect love we should have for one another involves. John, the evangelist who recorded them, draws the conclusion in one of his letters, as Christ laid down his life for us, so we too ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We should indeed love one another as he has loved us, he who laid down his life for us. This is surely what we read in the Proverbs of Solomon. If you sit down to eat at the table of a ruler, observe carefully what is set before you, then stretch out your hand, knowing that you must provide the same kind of meal yourself. What is the ruler's table if not the one at which we receive the body and blood of him who laid down his life for us? What does it mean to sit at this table if not to approach it with humility? What does it mean to observe carefully what is set before you if not to meditate devoutly on so great a gift? What does it mean to stretch out one's hand knowing that one must provide the same kind of meal oneself if not what I have just said? As Christ laid down his life for us, so we in turn ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we might follow in his footsteps. This is what is meant by providing the same kind of meal. This is what the blessed martyrs did with such burning love. If we are to give true meaning to our celebration of their memorials, to our approaching the Lord's table in the banquet at which they were fed, we must like them provide the same kind of meal. At this table of the Lord, we do not commemorate the martyrs in the same way as we commemorate others who rest in peace. We do not pray for the martyrs as we pray for those others. Rather, they pray for us, that we may follow in their footsteps. They practice the perfect love of which the Lord had said there could be none greater. They provided the same kind of meal as they themselves received at the hand at the table of the Lord. This must not be understood as saying that we are to be the Lord's equals by bearing witness to him to the extent of shedding our blood. He had the power of laying down his life. We, by contrast, cannot choose the length of our lives, and we die even if it is against our will. He, by dying, destroyed death in himself, and we are freed from death only in his death. His body did not see corruption. Our body will see corruption, and only then be clothed through him in incorruption at the end of the world. He needed no help from us in saving us. Without him, we can do nothing. He gave himself to us as the vine to the branches. Apart from him, we cannot have life. Finally, even if brothers die for brothers, yet no martyr by shedding his blood brings forgiveness for the sins of his brothers, as Christ brought forgiveness to us. In this he gave us not an example to imitate, but a reason for rejoicing. Inasmuch then as they shed their blood for their brothers, the martyrs provide the same kind of meal as they received at the Lord's table. Let us then love one another as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us. Friends, brothers and sisters, let us take a moment to express our contrition to God by acknowledging our sins and to reflect on this last few days. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God, trusting that Almighty God has had mercy on us when we ask him, forgiving us our sins, and will bring us to everlasting life. Let us continue the liturgy of the word. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Respond, this is our Psalm 69, to pray. For your sake, I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons. Because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall on me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Lord, in your great love, answer me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek the Lord, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor and his own. Who are in bonds, he spurns not. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Acclamation. Hail to you, our King. You alone are compassionate with our errors. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, The teacher says, My appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples. The disciples then said to Jesus, "Did as Jesus had ordered," and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after the other, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So it's one of the most intriguing and fascinating kind of subplots that we see in the background of the Gospels, right? Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus. Even though Jesus had honored this man so profoundly, Judas turns aside from his way. So there's all kinds of interesting theses and kind of speculations. The Gospels themselves tell you that Judas was a traitor because he stole the contributions that people were giving for Jesus' ministry. We don't know why he would do that. That's kind of interesting in itself. But the common theme is the meal. So in ancient times, you know, the most intimate thing, the thing that really assured people, it was not just the handshake. That's a medieval thing. The handshake means that you're assuring someone that you wish them no harm. But even better than that is the meal. And Augustine talked about that too. We ourselves will become priests and will fulfill our priestly role inasmuch as we prepare a meal of ourselves. And that doesn't necessarily mean we all have to be victim souls, so that might be what comes to most people's minds. You know, he said we don't have a choice in what happens to us sometimes, and that's true. Jesus, in a sense, had a choice, even though he entered into our human condition. He could have still called on angels and said, "Get me out of here." And he would have been free to say no, just like Mary was free to say no at the Annunciation, right? So very interesting. But yeah, Judas, some people think that he actually did this as a perverse way of getting Jesus to glorify himself and become a different type of Messiah. So again, that was one of the big things in the background of the Gospels, is that the people don't really understand Jesus. They don't understand that he's not going to set up an earthly kingdom like every other kingdom, but he's actually announcing himself as Messiah, but he's going to set up a new beginning for humanity and a church that's going to spiritually transform people's lives and therefore transform the world around them. I've always liked the great catechists of our time, I think, is Father Robert Spitzer, the theologian. And he says, you know, Judas didn't do this, okay, just as a one-off. He didn't do it, and he doesn't buy into the theory about, okay, Judas did this because he wanted to put Jesus in a condition where if he were up against the wall, he'd have to, you know, manifest his power, and he'd have to restore the kingdom to Israel in an earthly sense. That's one of the old theories about why Judas did it. But a better theory, you know, is that Judas became disenchanted with the message of the kingdom, with the spiritual message of the kingdom, right? And he decided to turn aside and spite Jesus and say, "Okay, I know who you are. I know your power. I've done even miracles and signs through the training mission and the authority and power given to Judas by Jesus. But, you know, if you're not going to do it the way that I want to do it, if you're not going to glorify Judas with the highest position or whatever," because for Spitzer, that really is the key that unlocks Judas, is spiritual and comparative pride. So like Saul in the Old Testament is a great example of this. He gets to be appointed king, and he goes from being this humble person who's just so happy to serve God, so happy to serve, I'm sure, his family and his society, and so honored that God would choose him, But for him, it becomes, okay, now I have to build a monument to myself. I have to be looking out for myself, my house, my legacy. And for Spitzer, that idea of Saul, that spiritual pride, is the interpretive key for understanding that Jesus didn't just lose Judas because he committed suicide, or he didn't just lose him because he made a mistake one time, or because he didn't fully get what Jesus' kingdom was about, but rather it was because, most fundamentally within Judas' heart, he had decided, I am the most important thing, and I will take to myself the most important things, which are the honor, respect, and esteem of others, and I will build a monument to myself. I think that's really the best way of it, especially catechizing to explain what happened on Holy Wednesday. I talk so much about it because this is the day where the Church remembers and is putting to Christ's memory of that most painful betrayal of Judas Iscariot. But anyway, again, the theme is the common meal. And more than a meal, the meal of Christ's body and blood that we are called to share in, that we read about yesterday, the meal that makes Christ tangibly present to us and brings peace to mankind if we join ourselves to it, to make, as priest, prophet, and king, the world more like his kingdom. So enough of that. I will come back and we will celebrate some more prayers. Rejoice in celebrating and singing, maybe even singing some more of these prayers and psalms for Holy Week. That's why this is called Spy Wednesday, because Judas is kind of thought to be spying or being a spy in the enemy camp. So here we go. Let us pray. Father, in your plan of salvation, your Son, Jesus Christ, accepted the cross and freed us from the power of the enemy. May we come to share the glory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And that's not to say that the suicide is unimportant. The suicide is very important. And we've all heard sermons on that before, that Peter shows us the way to repent, and Judas shows us what it means when man is, as Vatican II says, overcome by despair, loses hope, and, again, chooses himself, chooses a bad way out, just looking for some temporary relief, perhaps. And the suicide is, of course, very, very tragic because Judas was so close. And you have to believe that the power of Christ's divine mercy, maybe it would have made a difference if he would have hung around until Easter Sunday, right? So in any case, here we go.